Welcome to The Deep Dive, the show that's, well, your shortcut to being genuinely well-informed. We try to pack it with surprising facts, maybe just enough humor to keep you hooked. Today, we're plunging into a topic that's literally fundamental to life, something we interact with countless times a day, right? Yet we rarely pause to consider its immense complexity, or its value, water. More specifically, we're embarking on a deep dive into American Water Works Company, Inc. You probably know them as AWK. They're the undisputed giant among publicly traded water utilities in the U.S. Our mission today is to sort of peel back the layers of this seemingly simple, essential service. We want to understand why providing clean, reliable water isn't just, you know, a basic necessity, but a highly sophisticated, multifaceted investment opportunity. And really a cornerstone of critical national infrastructure. We've synthesized a mountain of information for you. Detailed investment analysis reports, a deep dive into AWK's own financial statements, and crucial industry insights from authorities like the EPA and the American Society of Civil Engineers. Our goal is to pull out the most important nuggets of knowledge from all this stuff, so you get the full picture without having to wade through dense reports yourself.
Yeah, and what truly stands out here is that grasping the dynamics of a company like American Water and really the entire water utility sector, it isn't just for Wall Street analysts or, you know, big investors. It's profoundly relevant for anyone who wants to understand the foundational systems, the ones that underpin our entire society and economy. Water service is the very definition of non-discretionary. Think about it. Even in the deepest recessions, maybe you cut back on eating out, new cars, whatever, but your water bill, that stays.
Right. You need water, period.
Exactly. This isn't just stable revenue. It's foundational, almost unshakable demand. Mm-hmm. It makes this sector uniquely resilient. Mm. And that's a quality people often overlook when they think about infrastructure. And right now, this sector is in the midst of, well, monumental shifts. It's driven by a perfect storm, really. Aging infrastructure, tougher environmental regulations, and this incredibly fragmented industry that's just, it's practically begging for consolidation. Mm. We know that delving into financials and infrastructure might not sound like the most thrilling way to spend your time, but we promise to unravel these complex concepts, turn them into genuinely digestible insights. You won't feel overwhelmed, I don't think, but you will emerge with a crystal clear understanding of why water, as a service and an asset, is an undeniably enormous deal, and it's only going to become more so.
Okay, so let's start by laying the groundwork. Let's understand the very nature of the U.S. water utility sector. What makes this business model so exceptionally robust and, frankly, kind of fascinating? It boils down to what we call the natural monopoly moat. Just imagine for a moment trying to launch a competing water utility in a city that already has one. You'd need to lay literally thousands of miles of pipes, often under existing roads, buildings, construct massive complex treatment plants, set up an entirely new distribution system for millions of customers. The sheer upfront capital cost, it's not just immense, it's an almost insurmountable barrier to entry for any potential competitor.
It really is.
We're talking about an existing network. I saw a figure. An estimated 2 million miles of underground pipes already crisscrossing the U.S.
2 million miles. That's a staggering figure.
Right. It represents a colossal, deeply embedded competitive advantage. And then there's the demand side, which is equally compelling. Water demand is inelastic and non-discretionary. So what does that mean for the utility's bottom line? It means people need water, absolutely, unequivocally, every single day.
No matter what.
Exactly. Whether the stock market is soaring or crashing, whether the economy is booming or in a recession, whether families are tightening their belts or splurging, they still need to drink, bathe, flush, cook.
Businesses, too. They need it for operations.
Absolutely. So this creates incredibly predictable, remarkably recession-resistant revenue streams for these utilities. It cements their market position as exceptionally durable. It's like a utility bill that's almost immune to the economic whims that shake other industries.
And that profound durability you just described, it's meticulously enshrined in this foundational agreement. It's known as the Regulatory Compact. It's an agreement with state public utility commissions, or PUCs. And this compact is truly the bedrock of the utility investment thesis. It really is. In essence, the utility takes on a solemn obligation, a promise, to provide safe, adequate, and reliable water and wastewater service to every customer within its designated territory. And to do so at a, well, a demonstrably reasonable cost.
Which is a huge responsibility. It's an essential public service.
It is. And in return for accepting this vital responsibility, the utility is granted the exclusive right to operate that natural monopoly. And here's the crucial part, the financial part. They're also given the opportunity to earn a fair and reasonable rate of return on their prudently invested capital. Now, this prudently invested capital is what we call the rate base. Mm-hmm. Think of it as the core economic engine for a regulated utility. It's like a pool of approved assets, every mile of pipe, every treatment plant, every pump.
The trucks, the land.
Exactly. All the tangible infrastructure that's actively used to provide service to customers. And crucially, regulators allow the utility to earn a guaranteed return on every dollar of that rate base. So the more prudently invested capital a utility like AWK adds to that pool through upgrades, expansions, new infrastructure, the larger their potential earnings become.
Okay. So more investment, potentially more earnings.
It's a direct, almost mathematical growth equation.
Yeah.
And this process where utilities justify their investment plans and cost structures to adjust customer rates, that's formalized through what are called rate cases.
Right, I've heard of those.
It's a rigorous, often lengthy process, but it's designed to ensure both public service and the financial health and predictability the utility needs to keep investing in vital infrastructure.
Okay, now this is where it gets really interesting, because the picture starts to come into focus. This sector isn't just about stable, predictable returns. It's on the cusp of what analysts are calling a multi-decade investment supercycle.
Hmm.
This isn't just a blip, it's a fundamental generational imperative for the whole country. First, let's talk about our aging infrastructure. Much of the nation's water infrastructure was built, mid-20th century, post-war boom?
Yeah, a lot of it dates back to then.
But that means a significant portion of it is now simply at or beyond its useful life. It's old. The American Society of Civil Engineers, the folks who grid our infrastructure.
Right, the ASCE report card.
They gave our drinking water systems a sobering C grade in their most recent report.
C minus, it's not.
It's not just a passing grade, it's a stark warning. We're talking about an estimated 240,000 water main breaks occurring every single year across the country.
Wow, that's a lot.
To put that into perspective, that's nearly 660 breaks every day, or one every 2 minutes. Beyond the obvious inconvenience, your street flooding, waking up to no water, these breaks translate to billions of gallons of treated water lost, just gone, before it even reaches the tap.
Precious resources literally down the drain.
Exactly. And it costs billions in emergency repairs, lost revenue. The Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA, they actually estimate, get this, $625 billion in investment is required over the next 20 years.
Just to maintain and upgrade.
Just to maintain and upgrade our drinking water systems to an adequate modern standard. And this isn't optional spending. It's fundamental for public health, safety, economic function. If you've ever had a boil water advisory or seen a geyser from a burst pipe, you get it.
Mm-hmm. And beyond just the physical decay of pipes, there's another powerful driver of investment, environmental compliance. The EPA plays a critical role here. They set legally enforceable limits for over 90 contaminants in drinking water. Those are the maximum contaminant levels, or MCLs.
Yeah.
But the paramount, and frankly, probably the most costly emerging challenge right now, it's per and polyfluoroalkyl substances, PFAS.
Yes, the forever chemicals. You hear a lot about those.
Exactly. They're a class of man-made chemicals, incredibly persistent in the environment.
Yeah.
And they've been linked to a range of adverse health effects. In April 2024, the EPA finalized a new national standard for 6 specific PFAS compounds in drinking water. They set near zero limits. Very, very strict. This new regulation is a game changer for the industry, no question. Compliance with these stringent limits is going to necessitate substantial capital investment. We're talking advanced treatment technologies like granular activated carbon filters or ion exchange systems for utilities everywhere.
So expensive upgrades.
Very expensive.
Yeah.
And here's where the investment thesis truly solidifies. This regulatory dynamic is an incredibly powerful growth catalyst for the industry. Think about it. When new regulations mandate large-scale capital investment, it creates a government-endorsed, non-discretionary pipeline of capital projects.
Ah, okay. The spending isn't optional.
Right. And these investments, once they're approved as prudent by regulators.
Yeah.
They get added to the utility's rate base, which, as we just discussed, allows the company to earn its regulator-approved return on that compliance-driven spending.
So the cost gets passed on, and they earn a return on fixing the problem.
In effect, yes. So environmental regulation doesn't just improve public health. It becomes a fundamental government-mandated driver of earnings growth for regulated water utilities. It's a unique characteristic of this sector. It transforms a burden into a guaranteed investment opportunity.
And if that wasn't enough to fuel this super cycle, We also face the continuous pressures of population growth, especially pronounced in water-stressed regions, right? Like the American West and Southwest.
Absolutely. More people means more demand.
On finite water resources and existing infrastructure. Mm-hmm. So you need system expansion, maybe new, more expensive water sources. Then, of course, there's the undeniable impact of climate change.
Mm-hmm. Exacerbating water supply challenges everywhere.
More frequent, severe droughts in some places, devastating floods in others.
It's a real challenge.
And this stark reality is driving substantial investment in advanced water conservation tech, innovative water reuse and recycling projects, and building more resilient infrastructure, stuff that can withstand extreme weather.
To ensure supply reliability.
Exactly. So all of these factors combine to create a truly generational, non-negotiable investment imperative for the entire U.S. water sector.
Okay, so given all these immense challenges, the aging assets, new regulations, population shifts, the critical question becomes, how is the industry actually positioned to meet this monumental demand for investment? Well, the U.S. water utility industry is characterized by extreme fragmentation.
Fragmentation, meaning lots of small players.
Lots and lots. We're talking over 50,000 distinct community water systems across the United States. And get this, a staggering 90% of those systems serve populations of fewer than 10,000 people.
Wow. Tiny systems, relatively speaking.
Tiny. And you can easily imagine the immense challenges this presents for these small, often municipally run systems. They frequently lack economies of scale. They struggle with access to sophisticated capital markets. And they simply don't have the in-house specialized technical, engineering, and regulatory expertise needed.
To deal with PFAS or massive pipe replacements.
Exactly. They find themselves in a constant battle to fund necessary upgrades, comply with tougher regulations, often falling behind. But this pervasive fragmentation, the inherent struggles of smaller systems,
yeah,
it actually creates a compelling opportunity for the large, well-capitalized investor-owned utilities, the IOUs, like American Water.
Ah, the big guys can step in.
Precisely. These major IOUs collectively invest over $6 billion annually into infrastructure improvements. They dwarf the capacity of most small municipal systems. They have the financial strength to fund these necessary upgrades and the operational expertise to manage complex systems efficiently and cost-effectively. In fact, there's compelling data suggesting that privately owned systems actually have a significantly better track record of compliance with the Safe Drinking Water Act compared to their municipal counterparts.
Interesting. So they might actually run them better on average.
The data suggests that yes, which in turn makes privatization an increasingly attractive, sometimes necessary, solution for communities struggling to provide reliable, safe water. So somewhat paradoxically, the industry's systemic problems, the aging pipes, the regulatory pressures, the capital constraints, they are not a headwind for the largest, most capable players like AWK. Instead, they are the very foundation of a long-term, sustainable growth strategy through acquisition.
So the industry's problems fuel their growth?
In a way, yes. This fragmentation directly fuels the growth of companies that are strategically positioned to consolidate and modernize.
Okay, so let's bring it home now and focus on American Water Works itself. The industry bellwether, as you said, AWK stands as the undisputed leader, largest, most geographically diverse in the sector, providing essential regulated drinking water and wastewater services to, what, 14 million people?
Roughly, yes, across 14 states.
Their business model is overwhelmingly focused on those regulated operations. About 90% of their revenue comes from that predictable side.
That's key. That focus on regulated assets is incredibly important.
Why? Because it provides that stable, predictable foundation of earnings and cash flow.
Exactly. It's largely insulated from broader economic volatility. It's their secret sauce for consistency.
And AWK's immense scale. It confers significant, durable, competitive advantages. Smaller players just can't match them. Think about it. Superior economies of scale when buying chemicals, equipment, services, bulk purchasing power.
Mm-hmm. Lowers their costs.
They also benefit from a lower cost of capital, primarily due to their strong balance sheet, their credit ratings. They have an A credit rating from S&P, right? That's top tier for utilities.
Among the highest, yes. Which means they can borrow money more cheaply to fund those massive infrastructure projects. That directly impacts profitability.
Plus, their sheer scale lets them centralize expertise.
Right. Top-tier engineering teams, cutting-edge water quality research labs.
Highly specialized regulatory affairs teams who can navigate that complex patchwork of state rules across 14 jurisdictions.
Absolutely. And all that operational leverage means AWK can manage its vast systems more efficiently than smaller peers, which is critical for maintaining customer affordability while executing that multi-billion-dollar capital investment program.
And what truly distinguishes American water, I think, is how strategically and effectively it leverages its geographic diversification. This isn't just a nice-to-have feature, it's a core differentiator. As you said, regulated operations in 14 different states, each with its own distinct economic conditions, climate realities, and crucially, regulatory environments. So that spread helps manage risk.
Tremendously. It acts as a powerful multi-layered tool for mitigating the primary risks in the utility business. Take regulatory risk. Rate case outcomes can vary significantly state by state. Politics, consumer advocacy play a role. For utility concentrated in just one state, like California Water Service Group, an adverse decision there could have a material, immediate impact on their overall financials.
Makes sense. All eggs in one basket.
Right. But AWK's multi-state footprint creates a powerful portfolio effect. A less favorable outcome in one state. Not ideal, obviously, but it can be effectively offset by more constructive results elsewhere, leading to much smoother, more predictable, more resilient consolidated earnings across the whole company. And this broad geographic spread also provides a natural hedge against climate and water supply risks.
How so?
Well, think about climate change impacts. Drought and water conservation in one region, that reduces water sales and revenue there. But that can be balanced by normal or even wet weather in other service territories.
Ah, okay. So it averages out the weather impact.
Significantly reduces the overall impact of regional weather variability on the revenue streams.
Yes.
Yes. And the benefit extends to economic risk, too. Serving a wide array of diverse regional economies makes AWK inherently less exposed to a severe downturn in any single state or challenges in a particular industry.
More stable customer demand.
Exactly. Which contributes directly to the stability and resilience of its revenue. So if you look at it this way, AWK's diversification isn't merely defensive. It's not just about playing it safe. It's a distinct offensive strategic advantage.
Offensive how?
It gives American Water this broad portfolio of investment opportunities. It empowers management to strategically allocate capital, put money where it makes the most sense, to jurisdictions that offer the most constructive and timely regulatory frameworks. For example, states that have mechanisms to reduce regulatory lag, the delay between spending money and getting it back in rates.
So they can pick and choose the best places to invest.
To a degree, yes. This incredible flexibility lets them optimize their return on invested capital across their national footprint, which consistently reinforces their ability to hit those ambitious long-term growth targets. You could argue this strategic agility in capital allocation is a key, maybe underappreciated, reason for their superior performance.
Interesting.
And what's more, AWK's sheer scale creates this fascinating self-reinforcing cycle of leadership. They maintain an industry-leading central research lab that actively collaborates with the EPA on developing new drinking water standards.
So they have inside knowledge almost.
Unparalleled technical expertise and foresight. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when municipalities suddenly face complex, costly new challenges, mm-hmm. like that mandated PFAS remediation, they're far more likely to seek a partner with American Water's proven capabilities, technical knowledge, and national reputation.
Makes sense. They want the experts.
Right. And this, in turn, further enhances AWK's competitive position in the lucrative M&A market, allowing them to keep growing their footprint and solidifying that already substantial scale advantage. It feeds on itself.
Okay, let's peel back another layer now and examine the financial pulse of American Water Works. Let's look at some numbers. The company has shown a truly consistent, really impressive track record of financial performance over the past decade. It's a testament to successfully executing that strategy. Grow earnings through prudent, continuous investment in the regulated rate base. We've seen their revenue climb steadily. It's driven by that combo. Organic growth from capital investments and inorganic growth from buying smaller systems. For instance, annual revenues went from $3.79 billion in 2022 to a projected $4.68 billion in 2024.
That's a big jump, over 23% in just 2 years.
Right. Robust top-line growth. And it's translated directly into equally strong bottom-line results. Reported diluted earnings per share, EPS, rising from $4.90 in 2023 to a projected $5.39 in 2024.
And that's right in line with their long-term target, isn't it? That's 7-9% EPS growth.
Exactly. A goal they haven't just consistently affirmed,
yeah.
But if you look at the 10-year financial summary table, they've consistently achieved it. Looking at that table, you see a clear, unwavering upward trend. Operating revenue, operating income, net income, EPS, and critically, capital expenditures, all trending up from 2015 through 2024.
It's a very compelling picture of steady, reliable, fundamentally predictable expansion. And this remarkable consistency, it prompts a crucial question. How exactly does a capital-intensive business, one needing billions in infrastructure investment every year, consistently create shareholder value? The answer lies in a fundamental financial principle, the ability to generate a return on invested capital, ROIC, that reliably exceeds its weighted average cost of capital, or WACC.
ROIC versus WACC.
Okay. For American Water, the linchpin here is the allowed return on equity,
right,
ROE, that state regulators grant them in rate cases. This allowed ROE, which historically has hovered around, say, 10.4%, is the primary determinant of their ROIC.
So the regulators basically set their profit margin on investments.
In a simplified way, yes. Imagine AWK as a bank. They borrow money at a certain average cost. That's their WACC. Then they invest that money in pipes, plant, equipment that becomes rate base. And the regulators allow them to earn a return on those investments. That's their ROIC. A positive spread means they're earning more on those investments than it costs them to borrow the money.
And that creates value.
That's the core economic engine. For every dollar they wisely invest, they're legally allowed to generate a healthy profit. That's what creates real economic value for shareholders. Now, AWK's ability to execute its multi-billion dollar annual capital program is critically dependent on maintaining a strong balance sheet, an investment-grade balance sheet, ensuring ready access to both debt and equity capital markets. And they absolutely excel at this. They hold that A credit rating from S&P, which, as we mentioned, is one of the highest ratings in the entire utility sector.
And that A rating is a big advantage.
Huge competitive advantage. It translates directly into a lower cost of debt, saves them millions on interest payments annually, which goes straight to the bottom line. If you look at the capital structure analysis in Table 2, you'll see their debt-to-equity ratio has actually improved from about 1.7 times in 2020 down to a more conservative 1.37 times by year-end 2024.
So less leverage.
Right. And that aligns perfectly with their stated long-term target. Keep total debt below 60% of total capitalization. Furthermore, their interest coverage ratio remains exceptionally healthy, around 4.0 times, meaning they have a robust capacity to comfortably service their debt obligations.
So, financially very sound.
All these metrics paint a picture of a remarkably well-managed and financially sound company, capable of funding its ambitious growth plans.
Okay, now this is where the unique nature of a regulated utility gets really fascinating. Because if you just looked at American Water Works' cash flow statement, you'd consistently see negative free cash flow, or FCF. For example, deficits of $701 million in 2023, projected $811 million in 2024. Now, for almost any other type of company, like a tech startup or a retail business, consistently negative FCF would be a blinking red light, a major red flag, warning of financial trouble.
Right. Usually means you're burning cash unsustainably.
Exactly. However, for a regulated utility that is in a heavy, mandated investment cycle, this metric must be interpreted entirely differently. The negative FCF for AWK is not a sign of financial distress at all. Quite the opposite. It's a direct and expected result of the company's massive ongoing capital expenditures, which are, by design, far exceeding the cash they generate from day-to-day operations. But here's the crucial insight. This dynamic isn't a sign of weakness. It is, in fact, the very engine of their future growth and profitability.
Right. It's counterintuitive, but vital to understand.
Think of it like this. Imagine a factory constantly upgrading its machinery, expanding production lines, building new facilities. Short term, all that construction costs a lot of cash. Immediate free cash flow might be negative.
Mm-hmm.
But long term, those investments mean vastly increased production capacity, higher earnings down the road. For AWK, every dollar of capital expenditure that's prudently invested and approved by regulators gets added to the company's rate base.
Back to the rate base again.
Exactly. And crucially, a larger rate base, as we discussed, in turn generates a higher level of future earnings and consequently future cash flow. So in the unique context of a regulated utility, negative free cash flow is actually a leading indicator of robust future growth.
A sign of future earnings and future dividends.
Precisely. The market, the savvy investors, they understand this fundamental relationship. They value AWK not based on immediate free cash flow, but on the predictable compounding growth of its rate base and earnings stream. It's a very different paradigm compared to most other industries, often counterintuitive.
And what becomes profoundly clear from this consistent growth strategy is that American Water is truly a premier dividend growth investment.
Right. The dividend is a big part of the story.
A huge part. The company has a genuinely distinguished record of consistently rewarding its shareholders. They've increased the dividend for an impressive 16 consecutive years.
16 years straight. That's consistency.
It is. And it isn't just a historical footnote, it's core to their forward-looking value proposition, a direct reflection of those predictable earnings. Management explicitly targets dividend growth that's in line with its 7-9% EPS growth target, a goal they have consistently achieved. We saw a strong 5-year dividend compound annual growth rate, CAGR, of 8.9%, and an even more robust 10-year CAGR of 9.45%.
And the latest increase,
announced in April 2025, was a very healthy 8.2%, right in that target range. And the company maintains a remarkably prudent and sustainable dividend payout ratio. They target a range of 55-60% of earnings.
So they're not paying out everything, they're reinvesting a good chunk.
Yeah, absolutely critical. That conservative policy allows for a substantial reinvestment of earnings back into those rate-based growth projects we just talked about, which in turn fuels future earnings and, critically, future dividend increases. It creates this powerful, self-sustaining, virtuous cycle for shareholders.
Earnings grow, dividends grow, reinvestment creates more assets, which generate more earnings.
Round and round it goes.
Yeah.
And the predictability of earnings from AWK's tightly regulated business model provides a high degree of certainty for these future dividend payments. This isn't some speculative dividend. It's a direct result of stable, predictable returns earned on essential, mandated infrastructure investments.
Okay, so we've talked about the financial consistency. The next logical question is, how does American Water keep achieving this impressive growth year after year? Their primary engine is what we call the organic growth flywheel. This is essentially the systematic, almost automatic expansion of its regulated rate base through massive continuous capital investment.
That CapEx number is key.
Absolutely. The company has articulated a clear, substantial, truly long-term capital plan. They're projecting investments of $14, $15 billion just for the 2023-2027 period.
$14 to $15 billion in 5 years.
And looking even further out, they're planning a staggering total of $42 billion in CapEx over the next decade.
$40 billion plus. Wow.
This isn't discretionary spending, stuff they could cut if times get tough. This spending is overwhelmingly directed at non-discretionary projects, legally mandated or essential for system integrity, public health. Roughly 68-70% of this enormous capital budget is allocated to infrastructure renewal, meaning replacing those aging pipes and mains that are literally at the end of their useful lives.
Preventing those 240,000 breaks a year we talked about.
Exactly. Getting ahead of the curve.
Yeah.
The remainder of the capital is strategically focused on enhancing water quality, meeting new environmental standards like PFAS, building system resiliency against threats like climate change impacts, and improving overall operational efficiency to keep costs down for customers.
It's a balanced approach.
It seems so. And this disciplined strategic investment is meticulously designed to drive a compounded annual growth rate in its rate base of 8-9%.
8-9% growth in the rate base itself.
Year after year. So as this rate base grows, so does the fundamental earnings power of the company, forming that reliable, almost clockwork-like flywheel for long-term value creation. It's a consistent, predictable cycle that defines their inherent growth trajectory.
And while that organic growth is undeniably the primary driver, acquisitions elegantly complement it, adding another powerful layer to American Water's expansion strategy. AWK isn't just growing internally, it's also undeniably the industry's most active and capable consolidator. Strategically leveraging its immense scale, deep expertise, and financial strength to acquire smaller, often struggling municipal water and wastewater systems.
Back to that fragmentation opportunity.
Precisely. They have a proven, impressive track record here. In 2023 alone, they successfully closed 23 acquisitions. And in 2024, they added nearly 70,000 customers through these strategic purchases.
So they're constantly buying up smaller systems.
Constantly. But it isn't random. It's a highly focused strategy. AWK specifically targets systems with 5,000 to 50,000 customer connections, ideally located within or near its existing operational footprint.
Why near? For synergies.
Exactly. That proximity allows them to realize significant operational synergies, combining maintenance teams, sharing equipment, integrating billing systems. It drives efficiency, improves service. There's also particular emphasis on acquiring wastewater systems, which currently represent a smaller portion of AWK's customer base, would offer a significant high-growth avenue for future expansion. Wastewater infrastructure often lags behind drinking water investment, but here's a really critical insight into their acquisition strategy. The true value of an acquisition is not just the initial customer base you get when you buy it.
Okay, so what is it then?
These acquired systems are often put up for sale precisely because they've suffered from years of chronic underinvestment, plagued by aging infrastructure, frequent service disruptions, maybe regulatory noncompliance.
They're fixer-uppers, basically.
In a sense, yes. Upon acquisition, AWK doesn't just take over. It applies its massive industry-leading capital program to rapidly modernize these newly acquired assets. This leads to a second, often larger, wave of rate base growth, as those necessary investments are approved and added to the rate base, generating regulated returns.
Ah, so buying the system is just the first step. Then comes the big investment.
Right. So an acquisition provides a multi-year platform for future capital deployment and earnings growth. End quote. As AWK systematically transforms underinvested, neglected assets into modern, compliant, highly revenue-generating infrastructure, it's a powerful, systematic, incredibly disciplined approach to expansion. Turns industry fragmentation into a distinct strategic advantage.
And underpinning all of this impressive growth, both organic and through acquisition, is management's clear, disciplined, and highly effective capital allocation framework. They operate with three core priorities that guide every single investment decision. Highest priority, always deploying capital into regulated investments and strategic acquisitions. The stuff that systematically expands the rate base and drives consistent earnings growth. That's number one.
The flywheel.
Second, they have a firm, demonstrated commitment to shareholder returns. Specifically, consistently growing the dividend in line with earnings targets. That provides a direct, tangible, predictable return to you, the shareholder. Highly valued, especially in uncertain times.
Mm-hmm.
And third, they diligently maintain a strong balance sheet and high credit ratings.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely critical because it ensures continuous low-cost access to capital, which, as we've said throughout this deep dive, is the very lifeblood of their massive growth strategy.
You need cheap money to fund billions in spending.
Precisely. And the efficacy of this framework, it's really evidenced by the company's long-term performance. Over the 10 years ending December 31st, 2024, American Water delivered a total shareholder return, TSR, of
183%. 183%. That's strong.
That figure significantly outperforms the broader utility sector, demonstrating management's proven ability to successfully convert their strategic plan into tangible, industry-leading shareholder value.
Of course, no business, doesn't matter how essential or well-managed, is entirely risk-free. And for a highly regulated utility, the most significant risk is undeniably the regulatory environment itself.
Dealing with those PUCs in 14 states.
Exactly. The company's financial health, its ability to grow and earn its fair return. It's heavily dependent on receiving timely and adequate rate relief from those state commissions. An adversarial or uncooperative regulatory climate in a key state that could lead to problems, like lower than expected allowed returns on equity, or the disallowance of certain capital expenditures from the rate base, meaning AWK wouldn't earn a return on them.
Ouch. Spending money you can't earn back on.
Right. Or just extended delays in rate case decisions, that regulatory lag. All of these scenarios would, understandably, negatively impact earnings. However, American Water has robust, effective mitigation strategies in place for these regulatory challenges. Their primary defense is their broad geographic diversification. We keep coming back to that.
Operating across 14 different states.
Yeah. It means the company isn't overly reliant on the political whims or policy shifts of any single regulatory body. An unfavorable decision in one state. Impactful locally, sure, but it can be effectively offset by more constructive outcomes elsewhere. That portfolio effect we talked about.
Smooths things out.
Exactly. Furthermore, the company invests significant resources in maintaining constructive, transparent relationships with regulators, policymakers, other key stakeholders in each jurisdiction. That proactive engagement helps foster a more favorable, predictable regulatory environment over the long term, reduces the likelihood of adverse surprises.
Okay. Beyond the regulatory landscape, there's the ongoing, evolving challenge of compliance with environmental regulations. We specifically mentioned the new EPA rules on PFAS. Crucial for public health, yes, but they will require significant capital expenditures for advanced treatment tech.
Big ticket items.
Right. And while that spending is largely expected to be recoverable in customer rates over time, there's always a theoretical risk, right, that regulators could, for political or economic reasons, challenge the prudence of certain investments or significantly delay their recovery.
Temporarily pressuring financial results. It's a possibility.
Then there are the broader long-term climate-related challenges. Climate change presents risks like increased water scarcity, more frequent severe droughts in certain regions,
which could lead to mandatory conservation, reduced water sales volume.
Conversely, increased flooding can stress or damage existing infrastructure. But American Water isn't just sitting idly by here either. They are truly a leader in water quality research and technology. Their central laboratory is at the forefront, testing for emerging contaminants, researching treatment methods proactively.
So they're trying to get ahead of the curve.
Seems like it. This allows the company to plan for future regulations, invest in solutions before they become mandated rather than just reacting. Their massive capital plan also includes significant dedicated investment in developing resilient and diverse water supplies.
To mitigate those climate change impacts.
Right. Ensuring they can continue providing reliable service even in times of drought, flood, other extreme weather. They're building a more robust, adaptive system for the future.
Now, as a capital-intensive business relying on consistent, large-scale investment, AWK's financial model is naturally sensitive to changes in the broader macroeconomic environment. Interest rates, for example, are a key factor. A sustained increase in rates raises the company's cost of borrowing for that huge capital program, which can certainly put pressure on earnings.
Makes borrowing more expensive.
It does. However, this risk is a bit more nuanced for a regulated utility than for, say, a manufacturer. Why? Because the cost of capital, including things like treasury yields, is a key input regulators use when setting that allowed ROE in rate cases.
Ah, so if borrowing costs go up.
Then in a higher interest rate environment, PUCs are generally more likely to grant higher allowed ROEs to reflect that increased cost of capital for the utility.
So there's a natural offset.
A natural, albeit not perfectly instantaneous, offset to higher interest expenses. Hmm. Yes. AWK also actively manages its debt portfolio to mitigate interest rate risk, using a prudent mix of fixed and variable rate debt, employing hedging instruments where appropriate. Then there's inflation risk. High inflation can significantly increase operating costs. Essential items like chemicals, electricity for pumps, labor, costs go up.
And they can't immediately raise rates to cover it.
Not immediately. Due to the nature of the rate case cycle, where rates are set for a period, there's often that regulatory lag between when costs are incurred and when they can be fully recovered in customer rates. That lag can temporarily compress profit margins.
So how do they fight that?
To combat these persistent inflationary pressures, management has a very strong stated focus on operational efficiency. They have a clear target: reduce the regulated operations and maintenance, O&M, efficiency ratio, to below 30.0% by 2027.
Becoming leaner.
Exactly. That proactive approach helps absorb some of those rising costs and maintain profitability in a dynamic economic environment.
Okay, finally, we need to consider the inherent operational and technological risks. Just the risks that come with managing a vast aging infrastructure network. This inevitably brings the potential for large-scale water main breaks. Failures at major treatment facilities.
Constant pressing concern.
Could lead to widespread service disruptions, boil water advisories, significant unplanned expenses for emergency repairs, and in our increasingly digital world, as water systems rely more on advanced tech for monitoring, control, billing.
Cybersecurity risk becomes a bigger issue.
Right. A sophisticated cyber incident could disrupt operations, compromise sensitive data, even impact public safety. It's a serious threat. Oh. American Water's primary mitigation strategy for these infrastructure risks is precisely its proactive and massive capital investment program. We keep talking about it because it's central.
Replacing assets before they fail.
Exactly. A significant portion of that budget is dedicated to asset replacement, getting ahead of failures by systematically upgrading aging pipes, equipment before they catastrophically break. That commitment to preventive maintenance is absolutely key. The company also makes significant continuous investments in its digital infrastructure and cybersecurity defenses.
Protecting critical systems from modern threats.
Yeah, this isn't just about fixing pipes anymore. It's about safeguarding their entire operational backbone, ensuring both physical and digital resilience for the millions of customers they serve. All right, let's unpack one of the more intriguing aspects of American Water Works. Its valuation. If you look at AWK's stock performance, its trading multiples, you'll consistently find that it trades at a premium valuation relative to many of its peers in the water utility sector, companies like Essential Utilities, California Water Service Group, H2O America,
WTRG, CWT, HTO for the tickers.
Right. If you refer to our peer valuation comparison in Table 3, you'll see a clear, persistent gap. For example, AWK's price-to-earnings PE ratio is around 25.6x. That's substantially higher than the peer average of about 19.8x.
Quite a difference.
Similarly, its enterprise value to EBITDA multiple of 16.1x is well above the industry median of 12.0x. And this premium isn't some recent thing. It's been a long-standing characteristic of AWK's stock valuation. Which begs the question, why? Why does the market pay more for AWK?
That's an absolutely critical question to consider. Why does this premium exist, and is it truly justified? While AWK certainly appears more expensive relative to its direct peers on, let's say, a superficial level, its valuation becomes more nuanced when you view it in the context of its own historical trading.
How so?
Well, the company's current PE ratio of approximately 25.6x, it's actually notably below its 5-year historical average of around 29.6x and its 10-year average of about 30.3x.
Ah, so it's cheaper now than it has been historically, relatively speaking.
Exactly. It suggests that while the stock isn't cheap on an absolute basis, its valuation has actually moderated from the higher levels seen in previous years, which perhaps makes it a more attractive entry point for certain investors than in the past, especially given that predictable growth profile we discussed. And for income-oriented investors, there's a powerful, often overlooked valuation metric. It's what we call the dividend yield spread analysis.
Dividend yield spread, okay.
This analysis compares a stock's current dividend yield to the yield on a relatively risk-free asset, like the 10-year U.S. Treasury note. As of mid-2025, AWK's dividend yield is approximately 2.3%.
2.3%.
The 10-year Treasury yield, however, is currently around 4.4%.
Okay, much higher.
Which results in what's called a negative spread of approximately 210 basis points, or 2.1%. Now, what does this negative spread tell you? It's a significant indicator that investors are not buying AWK solely for its current income.
They could get more yield from a Treasury bond right now.
Precisely. They are accepting a lower current yield than they could get from a very safe government bond. Instead, they are clearly pricing in a significant amount of future growth in the dividend.
Ah, they expect that 2.3% yield to grow substantially over time.
Exactly. The market is willing to accept a lower initial yield today in anticipation that American Water's dividend will continue to grow at that high single-digit rate for many years to come, eventually providing a superior yield on cost and total return compared to traditional fixed income alternatives. This willingness to pay a premium for consistent future growth rather than just current income, it speaks volumes. It shows the market's deep confidence in AWK's long-term trajectory and the predictability of its earnings.
Okay, so synthesizing all of this information, the persistent valuation premium commanded by American Water isn't necessarily a sign of overvaluation. Rather, it can be interpreted as a well-deserved quality premium that the market rationally assigns to the company.
A premium for quality. Makes sense.
Investors seem willing to pay more for AWK's shares due to a compelling combination of factors. Factors maybe not fully captured by simple backward-looking valuation multiples. First, there's the lower risk profile we discussed at length. That geographic diversification significantly reduces regulatory and weather risks compared to more concentrated peers.
Which leads to higher earnings predictability, certainty.
Yeah.
Investors love that.
Right. Second, there's their superior scale and execution. As the undisputed industry leader, AWK's unmatched scale provides profound operational and cost of capital advantages, which translate into more consistent, efficient execution of their ambitious growth plan. They just do it better, cheaper.
Mm-hmm. Operational excellence.
And finally, AWK holds undeniable best-in-class status. It's widely regarded as the bellwether of the water utility industry, the go-to name.
Especially in uncertain times.
Exactly. In an uncertain economic environment, investors often gravitate toward the highest quality names in defensive sectors, and they're willing to bid up their valuations to secure that coveted stability and consistent growth. So, the valuation gap between AWK and its peers, it's largely a reflection of the market pricing in these qualitative advantages and the lower perceived risk of its future earnings stream.
And what's truly integral to the long-term success of any company, of course, is the strength and stability of its leadership. American Water is indeed led by a highly experienced management team. They not only possess a clear strategic vision, but also boast a robust track record of operational and financial execution. A significant development to note is the planned CEO transition in May 2025. M. Susan Hardwick is set to retire, and current President John C. Griffith is slated to succeed her as CEO.
A planned internal succession. That's usually seen positively, right?
Generally, yes. Very positive sign for long-term stability and investor confidence. Mr. Griffith's background is particularly strong. He served as the company's chief financial officer, giving him deep insights into its financial architecture. And he also has prior experience as a managing director in utility investment banking.
So he knows the finance side inside and out.
Both the financial and strategic aspects of the utility business.
Yeah.
Yeah. It provides a very strong foundation, suggests strategic continuity, and what should be a seamless transition at the top.
And it's not just about who's at the top, but critically, how their interests align with yours, the shareholder. American Water's corporate governance and compensation structures seem explicitly designed to align management interests directly with those of long-term shareholders.
How so? Through the pay structure?
Largely, yes. Their executive compensation program is heavily weighted towards at-risk performance-based pay. For the CEO, for instance, a full 85% of their total direct compensation is tied to actual performance, mm-hmm. not just guaranteed salary or tenure.
85% at risk. That's significant.
It is. And the performance metrics used for their annual and long-term incentive plans, they're directly linked to the key drivers of shareholder value. Things like EPS growth, return on equity, customer satisfaction scores, which impact regulatory relationships, and operational efficiency targets.
So they get paid more if the company performs well on key metrics.
Exactly. This structure creates a very powerful incentive for management to rigorously execute on the stated strategy, because their own financial success is directly tied to the company's, and by extension, your success as a shareholder. And beyond just compensation, American Water adheres to best practices in corporate governance. Its board of directors is composed of a significant majority of independent members.
Ensuring diverse perspectives, rigorous oversight, unbiased decision-making.
Right. And crucially, the roles of board chair and CEO are separate, with an independent non-executive chair providing an additional layer of oversight and accountability to the executive team.
Good governance practice.
Seems so. The company also maintains an active and transparent shareholder outreach program, regularly engaging with investors on important issues of governance, strategy, disclosure, to ensure the board remains responsive to shareholder perspectives and concerns.
So they listen to investors.
Apparently. Ultimately, though, the true test of management quality is its track record of allocating capital to create value, and as evidenced by its industry-leading long-term total shareholder return and consistent achievement of its earnings and dividend growth targets, American Water's management has definitively proven to be an effective, disciplined, and value-creating steward of shareholder capital. #tagoutro.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into American Water Works, we've journeyed through the intricate layers of a company providing an absolutely essential service. We've seen how it benefits from a powerful competitive moat as a natural monopoly, virtually immune to direct competition.
Mm-hmm. That moat is key. Its growth engine is fueled by an undeniable multi-decade supercycle of aging national infrastructure and increasingly stringent environmental regulations, particularly those critical new PFAS standards.
Powerful tailwinds.
We've explored how its disciplined financial management, characterized by predictable earnings and a consistently growing dividend, powers that reliable rate-based flywheel for organic growth, which is brilliantly complemented by a savvy acquisition strategy in an otherwise fragmented market.
Turning fragmentation into opportunity.
And we've unpacked how AWK effectively mitigates the inherent risks of a regulated utility through strategic geographic diversification, proactive environmental planning, and robust operational and technological investments. American Water Works, at its core, really represents a true cornerstone blue-chip asset within the essential services landscape, a company seemingly built for stability and long-term growth.
So what does this all truly mean for you? Beyond just the investment opportunity itself, it's maybe worth taking a moment to consider the broader implications. The implications of private investment in what have traditionally been, and often still are, publicly owned services, especially something as profoundly critical as water infrastructure.
Right. The public versus private debate.
Exactly. The challenges we face with aging systems, daunting new environmental demands, they're immense, often overwhelming for smaller municipal entities that lack the scale, capital access, specialized expertise. Companies like American Water, with their sheer size, direct access to capital markets, deep operational knowledge, they are increasingly stepping in to fill that crucial infrastructure gap.
Providing the needed investment.
Yes. This ongoing consolidation, this broader infrastructure supercycle, it's undeniably modernizing vital systems across the country, improving water quality and reliability for millions, but it also raises an important question for further thought, something to mull over. How might the continued success and increasing presence of companies like American Water Works influence the future landscape of municipal services in general? And what are the long-term societal benefits, or perhaps trade-offs, of this ongoing shift, this evolution where private entities are playing an ever more central role in delivering our most essential public services?
A big question indeed.
Something profound to ponder, perhaps, as you simply turn on your tap tomorrow morning.